Well, welcome. Good to see you. Ever been part of a team? I think we all have at some point in time, right? Whether it's a sports team, soccer, baseball, volleyball, golf, academic team, drama team, band, choir. The workplace is composed of teams, the family is a team, and the church is a team. And when you came in here today, you were handed a puzzle piece. Now, the thought behind that is that after the service, we're all going to come down and put it together. It has to be together before we have the cook. No, I'm kidding. One kind of humorous thing about puzzles, and I know some of you are going to hate me for this and probably never talk to me again, but my family loved puzzles, and so I would grab a piece, you know, and just put it in my pocket or in the drawer. I know, just a warped personality that I have. And they'd get done with it and be one piece left, and I'm like, here it is, and they just attack me, you know. A week later, you know, no, I revealed it pretty quickly. But puzzle pieces, I mean, we all fit into it. We're surrounded by them today. We got them on the stage. When you go outside, they're hanging from the ceiling. Puzzle pieces, what do we know about puzzle pieces? Well, we know that each each puzzle piece is important, correct? They all have different shapes. They all have different colors. When they fit together, that's a beautiful thing. And when we assemble them, we create this beautiful, beautiful picture. And we are all part of that puzzle. You have in your hand, or at least most of you do, a puzzle piece. And I trust that you'll take that home today and remember that your place in the church, you are a very, very important part of what's going on here at Usick Baptist Church in the Treasure Valley and the world. If we could just get that in our mind, to realize that we're part of something big. God has started the story, and we've come into it kind of halfway through the story, and we're trying to figure out where we fit into it. Well, you do fit. Your part fits. God designed you and made you the way you are so that you would fit in to what he's doing here in this world. God, in his infinite wisdom, has put this church together, and it's like a huge puzzle. And each puzzle piece represents a person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ, and each person is equally important. Doesn't matter if you've been here 30 years or 30 days, you are an important part of what God is doing here at Usick Baptist Church. And God is building his church, and he's gathering people. He's gathering puzzle pieces from all over the world and assembling them here in our midst, for the kingdom. And you're part of that. Isn't that somewhat exciting? That is exciting because you are part. You are not just here by happenstance. You might, you know, we can say, well, I chose this church. Well, is it bigger than that? Did God lay it on your heart to be part of this assembly? Bringing your gifts, your passions, your heart into this body. Did God design that? And I would suggest he did. I would suggest that you're here for a very important purpose. God is constantly moving his players around. Sometimes he takes people out of here and he puts them there. And sometimes he takes people there and he puts them there here. We just don't know what God is doing. Sometimes people leave Usick Baptist Church and they go to another church where they're needed. Their gifts are needed. Their passions, their talents are needed. And then he brings people from other places and brings them here. We don't know what God's doing, but we do know that he's in the process of moving people around to do whatever it takes to make this body and his kingdom advance. And here's the big idea. The health and strength and success of a team depends on the personal involvement of every team member. If everyone is not engaged in serving with their gifts, the team's going to hurt. The team's going to be incomplete. The team is not going to be operating at full capacity. So the church is a team. And the health and the strength and the success of the church also depends on the personal involvement of each of its members and attenders. And if pieces are missing, man, you know it. You know it. Just like that piece I took from the puzzle. It's like, what is missing? We're missing this piece. Well, here it is. You know, it's like, you know, kill me kind of a thing. But you feel it. You understand it. Every part is important. A healthy church is where everyone is finding their place in the church and living out their God-giving call. And that's what God is talking about when he talks about the church as a body. As a body. And I know what some of you are thinking. My piece. It doesn't matter. You know, it's insignificant. It's not as pretty as someone else's piece. You know, my piece is dark, or my piece is small, or my piece is kind of weird looking, or oddly shaped. And you think, And, you know, I'm not going to get involved. Nobody needs me. And I would suggest very small things make a big purpose. They're very important, like the pituitary gland. You know how big a pituitary gland is? It's about the size of a pea or a bean, and it sticks in our head. And that's very important because it's the master gland, and it controls the secretions of most of the hormones in our body. And when the body doesn't, you know, when the body, if you don't have it, without it, it won't produce, or the hormones won't produce, and it won't grow. You know, I'm trying to be a doctor here, but I'm just reading stuff, all right? the body won't produce, it won't grow properly, and many of the body functions won't function, all right? And so that is that's just a little pituitary gland. And it's so important for the whole body. And my friends, every one of you is a very important part of what God is doing. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through as many parts, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. Many parts coming together to form the body of Christ. The body needs us to work together. The body needs us to come together. If a hand decides to work independent of the brain, you know, it's like, stop that. You know, it's never going to work, right? And if the mouth decides to ignore the nose, mealtime would be absolutely boring, wouldn't it? It would. I mean, if the body is moving, it's got to move in the same direction. It's got to be unified. It's got to come together. And well, if we're a team, we need to be playing together as a team. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we're trying to accomplish the same thing. So what are we set out to do? What is the church here to do? And if I were to poll you as an audience, you'd all have come up with all sorts of ideas of what the church. And I would say most, if not all of them, are going to be right on. But, you know, the primary reason that we're here is to love God, right? Love others, and then to advance the kingdom. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment, all put together. And it's really that simple. We don't have to complicate it other than that we're here for a purpose. We're to love each other, we're to love God, and we're to get the word out. That's it. That's it. Why else are we here? We've all been created by God as unique and special individuals with different gifts, passions, values, abilities, behavioral patterns, experiences, and interests. We're like puzzle pieces coming together, looking for our proper fit. And God, in his infinite wisdom, takes all the various pieces and pulls them together and calls it what? A church. It's the church. We're the church. You're the church. This isn't the church. This is a building that we occupy. No, you are the church. And you come together to make up the church. And the problem that many people deal with is they're not happy with the way that God has made them. They look at their gifts, they look at their passions, and they say, the church can't use me. You know, what do I have to contribute? But as you read through the Bible, the message is very loud and clear. You're very special. You are created by God. So instead of trying to reshape yourself into something that you're not, we should celebrate the way that God has made us, the way that God has shaped us. And there's an acrostic that's commonly used to describe five important parts that highlight the place of the church. The acrostic is SHAPE, and it highlights five very important things, and I'll go through them rather quickly. But the first one is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. The Bible teaches that when you came to Christ as your personal Savior, you received a spiritual gift, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. But however, these spiritual gifts are just one part of the picture, because we're also born with natural abilities and talents and passions, and God takes all of that and works it together to make us who we are and our contribution to the church. And sometimes we get things backwards, and I'm not opposed to spiritual assessment tools, but sometimes we take the tool and it says, oh, you're this, and then we go out and try to do that instead of saying, what am I passionate about? What do I have? How has God wired me? Where are my desires? Where are my talents? And just start, you know, trying to plug yourself into things and how comfortable am I in that ministry? And you'll recognize your spiritual gifts as you do that. And the spiritual gift assessments, like I say, just to reinforce what you should already know. You should take a spiritual gift assessment and say, oh yeah, that's right. That's how I feel. That makes sense. And chances are you're already actively doing what God has wired you to do. You're probably already in some kind of ministry, whether it's here or at your workplace, but you're probably already actively using the gifts and passions and talents you've been given in some capacity somewhere. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. The other one is heart. The Bible talks about the heart, which represents the center of our emotions and desires and interests and inclinations. Your heart determines the things that you do, the way that you feel, the way that you act. It responds. Our heart determines how we respond. And physiologically, each of us have a unique heartbeat. It's hard to believe that you can have a unique heartbeat through billions of people. Everyone's got their own little nuance of heartbeat. There's a little change here and change there, but it's all still slightly different. But there are different heartbeats, and we all have a heartbeat, and it's different. And likewise, God has given us a unique emotional heartbeat that races when we encounter activities and subjects and circumstances that interest us. We get involved in something like, oh man, I'm so energized. I am so into that. That is so cool. Excuse me. So another word for heart is passion. And so there are certain activities and subjects that we are passionate about. And God has a purpose for giving us these inborn passions. But don't ignore the natural interests that you have. Don't try to fit in to someone else. Don't try to take someone else's piece. It's like, let's trade. Why don't you take my piece? I'll take yours, and I'm going to be this for a while. No, you go with what you've got. That's your piece. And God rarely excels. We rarely excel in tasks that we don't typically enjoy. So high achievers typically enjoy what they like to do or they're doing. So the third area is abilities. These are like the natural talents that God gives us when you're born. David, our oldest son, man, he was talking before he could walk. I mean, the kid was carrying on conversations, and we looked at him like, this is really weird. We are freaking out looking at this guy, and he is talking and can barely move, and he's carrying on these conversations. Well, today he's a pastor, so it makes total sense that God gave him this ability to talk. And he just talks up the storm when he was a kid. And we just look at him like, this is not normal. What's going on with this kid? But, that's who he is. And some is given, natural athletic abilities. Some have an ear for music. I give Eric a lot of credit that he can look at a musical score and look at that. And his fingers just kind of move in the right direction. I'm like, I can't even imagine doing that. I tried piano lessons. Didn't go well at all. So I give a lot of credit to all the people that are in ministry doing music. Other things, people aren't good with numbers. They can't understand why someone else doesn't like calculus. They say, like, this is so fun. I can just put these numbers together and everything just comes together and it's so fun. And like, yeah, you can have that. That's great, but not for me. But one of the most common excuses people give for not being involved in the team is just, I don't have anything to offer. You might be sitting there thinking, man, I don't have anything to offer. Well, many national studies have proven that the average person possesses 500 to 700 talents. The average person, 500 to 700 talents that you can do, things that you can accomplish, abilities. Don't underestimate what God can do in and through you. So what is your shape? What is your shape? So we've been looking at spiritual gifts, one's heart, one's abilities. Now let's look at personality. It's obvious that God does not use a cookie cutter to create people. He made introverts. He made extroverts. He made people who love routine, those who love variety. He made some people who are comfortable up front, those that would rather be behind the scenes. Some like to focus on relationships. Some are better with their hands, like to build things. Some are leaders. Some are type A personalities. Others focus on the details. We need them all. I mean, if we didn't have accountants and actuaries and all these people, it'd be a mess. That's not me, but I'll do what I have to do. But I'm so thankful there are people like that. And there's no right or wrong temperament for ministry. We all need all kinds of personalities because it gives the church an incredible flavor. It's not all vanilla. It's not all chocolate. Angie gives me a hard time. We go to this place and it's got like 1,000 options, for ice cream. I'll take some chocolate. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You want chocolate? Yeah, I like chocolate. Okay, have it. But unfortunately, ministry comes in more than 31 flavors. Lastly, experiences. God never wastes an experience. Romans 8:28 reminds us, and we know that in all things God works for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There are five basic experiences that we have or that God can use. There's probably more than that, but I'm going to share five. Educational experience. What are your favorite subjects in school? I mean, if there's things that you took in school and you liked it, it worked well for you, there'd be something to that. Vocational experience. What jobs do you enjoy doing? Where do you achieve results in doing certain things? Spiritual experience. What have been some meaningful and decisive times that God has worked in your life? What were you doing? What were you thinking at the time? How was God using you in those experiences? Ministry experience. How have you served God in the past? And what kind of response did you have? How did that go? Was that a good thing? Did you realize, that's not my fit. I need to be trying something else? Or painful experience. What problems, what hurts, what trials have you learned from? Most of the ministries we have today have come from hurt. They've come from pain. You think of ministries to unwed mothers, grief-sharing ministries, ministries for people coming out of sex trafficking, people who minister to widows and widowers, and the list goes on. God uses our painful experience. God uses our failures in life sometimes to just minister to people in ways that we wouldn't even imagine. And at the time, it's painful, it's really hard, but God takes those experiences and can use them for a really good thing. So God uses all our experiences in life, whether they're good, whether they're hurtful, whether they're, we might call them bad, but he can use them today. And God in his sovereignty determines the shape for his purpose so that we don't resent it or reject it. If God's brought you through something, use it. Use it for his glory. Many international ministries we have a result of painful, that have come from painful experiences. And it says in Scripture, the pot cannot say to the potter, I have no use of you. Pot can't talk back to a potter anyway, but if it did and said, I have no use of you, what's that? What's that about? So instead of trying to reshape ourselves to be like someone else, we should celebrate the shape that God's given us. So I'd like to go back to spiritual gifts briefly. So what is a spiritual gift? In a nutshell, spiritual gifts are special abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body and the fulfillment of his children. That's it, in a nutshell. That's what a spiritual gift. They come from God. They're given to every believer. God's designed it before we were born. They're for the common good of the body. Some people use their gifts in other capacities, but your primary gifts, your primary passion, God, the way God has wired you is for your family and for the church. And for the community, of course, we understand that the church reach out to the community. So according to many national surveys, most people don't even know what their spiritual gifts are. I mean, that's not a new problem. It's been around since the church started. Paul wanted to correct that problem, so in his letter to the church in Corinth, he writes, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be informed. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, as you read that chapter, it talks about the gifts and the body and how it all comes together. So Paul is saying, really want you to know this. I don't want you to miss it. It's way too important to pass up. And so Paul knew that the health of the church depended on everyone getting involved. And so God has equipped the church for whatever tools, whatever skills are necessary so it can function well and take the message of hope to those who need to hear it. And we're all a part of that. We're all an important part of that. As one pastor said, God gave me a gift. Not for me, but for you. And God gave you a gift, not for you, but for me. If you don't use your gift, you deprive me. If I don't use my gift, I'm robbing you. You ever look at it that way? If we're not using our gifts in the assembly here, in the church context, in the big C, we're depriving people of something. God has said, I've given you this gift so you can all fit together and make this all work. It's an incredible thing. And so when we work and minister together and do our part, God is honored. People are in change. Lives are changed. And it's one of the most exciting things to observe, but it's even more exciting to be a part of. So finding your place in the church, God is assembling his team here at USTIC. And if you're a Christian and you're here, you're part of that. You're part of what he's doing. God has a specific place for you in the church. And there's all sorts of ways to respond to that kind of thinking. Some will say, not me, I don't have anything to contribute. You really think me? You have a lot to contribute. Or my life is busy enough. I don't need another thing to add to my schedule. If I have some time, I'll give it to God's work. Well, you know, I think we need to kind of look at it the other way. You know, you do God's work first, and it's usually going to work out with everything else. And some people will say, I've served my time. You know, I've served my time. I'm at this point. We'll let the young people do it, or someone else can do it. I've done enough. Many will say, well, I don't even know enough to serve effectively. I've run over this. I've ran into this so many times. People say, well, I don't know enough. I can't teach a class, or I can't be in ministry or of any sort. It's not about knowing a lot. It's about taking what you know. Just take the great commandment, the great commission, if that's all you know, and you can go. You can spend your life just working on those two things. That's it. You know, set the Bible aside. No, I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just saying, great commandment, great commission, plenty of things to work on right on there. And we can apply those things. You don't have to know a ton of things to get involved in ministry. And others will say, you know, I want to help, but I'm just not sure where I can serve. Well, just look at those tables out there and look at some options. They're set up in such a way that you kind of look at some of the, what are the passions, what are the talents, what are some things that I can look at, maybe I can fit into this. And talk to people, pray, and we'll talk more about that. But still others say, hey, I know my gift, and I want to be here to do my part. So you don't have to be here 5 years before you can finally get involved. No, if you're new or have been here for a while, you're needed right now. Now. Not 5 years from now. Now. Don't ever underestimate what God can do in and through you as you make yourself available to serve. And one of the most common questions Christians ask is, how can I find my spiritual gift? Well, let me go through this rather quickly, but one is the prerequisite. You have to be a Christian, all right? You have to be a believer. You have to put your faith and trust, come to Christ and say, hey, I'm a sinner. I messed up my life. I just need to follow you, Christ, and by faith you trust him. That's first. And then we must believe that there are spiritual gifts and that God has given you one or several. You might have several gifts. And you must be willing to serve God with your gift, not this kind of, you know, like, well, I'll find my gift and then I really won't use it, but I'm just kind of curious about this. And then pray for insight. Another thing is personal assessment. What areas do you find deep concern, deep passion in? God will always combine your love and passion with your spiritual gift. He's not going to ask you to do something that just doesn't fit who you are, where your passion and your love is. What do you enjoy doing? What brings you fulfillment? What brings you satisfaction? God will use that. What's your personal style? Some people are task-oriented. Some people are people-oriented. How can you contribute? You know, some people are more up in front. Some people are behind the scenes. The possibilities are just absolutely endless. Do you like working with children? Do you like working with adults? You like to teach? You like to be behind the scenes? All sorts of things. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to move through this rather quickly. Other people's assessment, what are people observing out of you? I mean, when people look at your life and you say, hey, what do you think? I mean, I'm trying to kind of figure out where I fit and what do you observe in me, and talk to people that are close to you, and they're going to give you some perspective. And then another is spiritual gifts focus on spiritual results. They focus on spiritual goals, not how well a person does. Usually the two go hand in hand, but not always. I've been under some people that, you know, that just really tried to communicate the word of God, and it just, you know, for 2 hours, and they get done talking, and it's like, wow, you know, that maybe it's not your spiritual gift. Maybe you should try another gift, and that's okay, because you got to try. You got to see what God is doing. Spiritual gift focus on spiritual results, and the lesson is test your gifts. Do people benefit from the use of my gift? Try different ministries, see how that works. Do I feel fulfilled in this? And then identifying the gifts. And we're not going to go through the passages today, but I encourage you to look up 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31, and Romans 12, 8 through 3 through 8, and Ephesians 4, 11 through 11 and 12. And it just lays out the gifts, whether it be faith or teaching or knowledge or prophecy or discernment. They're all right there. And there's some key words that you see in your bulletin. There's some key words that are just like, what does that mean? Discernment. Key word is discerning, authentic, having an insight into a situation. Wisdom is different than knowledge because wisdom takes knowledge and applies it in a proper way. But there's different categories to the gifts, and primarily you're going to see the gifts that are listed for you are more of the speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Sign gifts, we're not going to touch on that right now. But what are some of the spiritual gifts? Can you identify your own? And just kind of lastly, as we dismiss here with our last song, I want to encourage you to go back and just go through the table. Talk to the people that are working with these ministries and ask them questions. And one of the things you might find, I just grabbed one of these. This is a deacon ministry description. And you're like, what's a deacon? Well, go find out. A deacon is someone that serves behind the scenes. It's a great place to serve. Who are our deacons? Any deacons here today? Stand up. I'm going to have you stand up. Any deacons? Stand up for me. There's a few of you. There they are. These are some of the deacons in our church. And if you have questions about what a deacon does, thank you, guys, talk to them, because they'll give you an insight. Not only do they serve communion, but they're working behind the scenes, helping the people that have needs and various needs. And so go back there, grab the deacon ministry description, and pray about being involved in a deacon ministry. It's a great, great place to serve. But as you look through these gifts, I would hope that some of these would resonate for you, that some of those would just stand out. Well, that is me. I said such a passion about that. And that's great. I think that's an important. But I think another important thing is this, is I've got several puzzle pieces. And I think we have to look at it like this. You know, we passed out some today, but these are puzzle pieces yet to be filled by people coming here. There's people that need, that God is leading and bringing here to this church. And they're represented by these puzzle pieces and the other puzzle pieces that are in the boxes in the back. Is to somehow think that we are not complete yet. God is still building his church here. God is still bringing people in. And when God brings people in, I think we need to be excited what he's going to do through them. And I'm excited what God is going to do through you. It's not about me and them. It's about us. It's about us coming together and being a body and doing it for his glory. And the really cool thing about this not my name tag, but where did I put it? Not my gum. All right, sorry about this. I'm missing. Oh, here it is. All right, sorry. That wasn't staged. I really didn't know where I put it. But this is the picture. So when you guys come down here after the service to assemble the puddles, this is it. No, I'm kidding. This is it. It's a beautiful picture. This is the church, and the church is beautiful. It's the bride of Christ. It's incredible what God is doing in his bride, and he's using you, and he's using me to accomplish his work here in this world. Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you that we can come together. Thank you for all that you're doing. You're an incredible God, and you work this stuff out. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to make sense of it. We just have to do our part, and we're going to be fulfilled in it. That's the key. It's just not about serving a God that's just pounding on us. No, it's that when we're fulfilling that which you have called us to do, we're going to be fulfilled too. When we're going to be happy, we're going to be satisfied, because we've been wired that way. That's how God has made us. And so help us fit into what you've got for us, Lord. Thank you so much that you have a plan for this church and every church in the Treasure Valley. And we pray this all in Jesus' name.